Chapter 11. Me, Myself, and I. My friends dropped back, their faces filled with shock, surprise, and horror. "Wait," I said, "I didn't really mean it." Moongobble and the others stopped, but they didn't move toward me. They just stood where they were, looking puzzled and a little afraid. Suddenly, I was glad that they looked afraid. At least part of me was glad. Another part of me didn't like it at all. I felt as if I had been cut into pieces. Part of me wanted to do bad things. Part of me was horrified by this, but not strong enough to stop it. And part of me was outside it all, thinking how strange it was. "Are you all right, Edward?" asked the rusty knight. I turned around and stuck my butt out. Then I wiggled it at him. "This doesn't look good," muttered Irk. "Quiet, toad," I shouted, "or I'll turn you into a pollywog, or maybe an egg. Then I'll feed you to a fish." The part of me watching all this was getting even more unhappy. The rusty knight and Irk were my friends. It wasn't right to be rude to them. "Shut up, you little goody-goody," thought the part of me that was feeling evil. "How strange," thought the part of me that was watching it all. Moongobble stepped toward me. He put out his hand and said gently, "Edward, I think you should give me the stone." "Stand back, old man," I shouted. Fireball hissed angrily. I turned the stone toward him. I swear I did not say or do anything. Even so, a bolt of power shot out of it. Moongobble raised his wand and cried, "Argle, bargle, dee-zap, dee-zats!" I heard a sizzling sound. Something shot out of Moongobble's wand. It caught my bolt of power. With a flare of light, both pieces of magic were gone. I was amazed that Moongobble could do that, which made me think of how hard we had been working for him to become a magician. The nice part of me remembered what the old woman in the swamp had said about holding on to the good things in my life, holding on to thoughts of the people who loved me. I started trying to do that, trying to think only of those things. I thought about my mother. I remembered the smell of her bread and the way she kissed me goodnight. "Don't be stupid," snarled the bad part of me. I thought about working for Moongobble. "He doesn't pay you enough," snapped my evil self. "You should zap him." I thought about having a dragon and a toad and a knight for friends. "Don't you know any normal people?" scoffed my bad side. I thought about finding my father and bringing him home. My bad side said nothing. "Interesting," thought the part that was just watching things. "That seems to have shut up your bad side. Maybe you should hold on to that thought." I held on to the thought and the memories of all the other good things in my life. I could feel myself getting dizzy, but I kept holding on until I heard Irk shout, "Watch out, he's going down!" Everything went black and I fell face first to the ground. Chapter 12. Fozwad at His Worst. When I opened my eyes again, the forest seemed to be drifting by overhead. It took me a moment to realize that I was in the floating cart. "Welcome back, Edward," said a voice. Turning my head, I saw Irk. He seemed to be normal-sized, which meant I must have grown back to my own normal size while I was asleep. "Are you all right?" called Fireball. He was flying just above me. "I don't know," I rubbed my head. "What happened?" "You were completely worn out from fighting the evil of the stone," said Irk. "We put you in the wagon so we could start for home. We're almost there." Suddenly, I remembered what I had done. "I am so sorry," I cried. "I can't believe how I acted." "Oh, stop," said Irk. "The problem was the stone, not you." "And you beat the stone's power," said the rusty knight. "You must have a noble heart. Only someone with a noble heart could have fought the stone that way. I can't wait to see old Fozwad's face when he finds out we actually managed to do this," called Arthur. He was sitting at the end of the wagon with his feet dangling inside. "He's going to be furious." "I need to think about what to do when I see him," said Moongobble. I realized he was walking beside us. "What's to think about?" asked Irk. "If Fozwad gets too rotten, just turn the stone against him. It will pull out all his power." I loved this idea. I knew that the stone really could take Fozwad's power, but Moongobble looked disturbed. By the time we arrived at the cottage, I was feeling good enough to help with the unpacking. We were just sitting down to discuss how we should handle Fozwad when we heard a snap and saw a puff of blue smoke. It was Fozwad, of course. Showing up that soon after we got back ourselves made me wonder if he had been spying on the cottage. He looked at us sitting around the table and curled his lip. Then he turned to Moongobble and said, Well, how did you do? I've got the stone right here, said Moongobble. Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out the black bag. Fozbud looked startled. You do not! Moongobble smiled and turned the bag over, dumping the stone into his hand. I was surprised to see how small it was. I was also surprised to see that it didn't seem to bother him at all to hold it. Fozbud's eyes widened. Then he began to laugh. Do you really think that's going to do you any good? We cannot let you into this society, you boob. You never would have done it if you hadn't had help. That's not fair, I cried, jumping to my feet. Fairness has nothing to do with it, said Fozbud, sounding as if I were some sort of fool. What matters is that he could not have done it on his own. You never said he couldn't have help, bellowed Irk. I felt a rush of fury, but before I could speak, Moongobble dropped the stone back into the bag. I had never seen him look so angry. Here, he said, holding the bag out to Fozbud. Take it. Take it and leave this house. I couldn't believe my ears. No, I cried. You can't let him have it.